The scripture reading is Matthew 15:18-19. Let me read. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. Amen.
성경 마태복음 5장 26절엔
Matthew 5:26 says, Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. God judges everything fairly and justly in everything for whatever we do. He knows all our, not just all our deeds, but our words and thoughts. Psalm 89:7 says, A God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all those who are around him. God is God of love, but he is also dignified. He is strict and stern. He doesn't just take it easy on sins, but he judges all the sins strictly. But Psalm 103 verse 12 says, As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So if we really repent from our heart, he will not remember our sins. He forgives us completely. But if the sins are remaining, if they are not repented and cleansed, we will receive the retribution even on this earth, not just on the judgment day. But the retribution of sins will be different in magnitude according to the magnitude of the sin. For greater sins, the retribution diseases will be the greater. And this retribution doesn't come only on believers. Even the unbelievers, they are also receiving the retribution for their sins. The final judgment will be heaven and hell, and what kind of depth of hell they will fall, or what kind of more beautiful place in heaven they will go. That will be the final judgment. But even before we receive the final judgment, even while during our lives on this earth, we will all receive the retribution for our sins according to our deeds. Not just the believers, but also unbelievers. They will all receive the retribution. But those unbelievers, they do not understand why they are going through such hardships, trials, diseases. They just think it's because air pollution, because of some unbalanced diet, or some hard work, overworking. But they don't understand the things, they don't understand that they are receiving the retribution for their sins. So what is the difference between believers and unbelievers? In case of unbelievers, even though they are receiving retribution, they don't know what is the cause. So they just receive the retribution until the end. They cannot solve the problem. But believers, when we receive the retribution, we can understand the cause, so we can depart from sins, and all the trials and tests can go away. So how great blessing this is. You know, it doesn't mean they don't receive any retribution just because they don't know it. Even on this earth, unbelievers also, they receive the retribution. But the difference is, for the believers, we have the chance. We can repent and turn from sins. So we will be set free from, we will escape, the retributions will go away. Whereas for the unbelievers, it is very unlikely. So it's better, it's the best if we repent of our sins. But if we do not repent, the retribution will come. So because we know the truth, at that moment we can realize our sins and we can turn from sins. So if there are trials or tests, we can realize ourselves and repent, and we can be forgiven. So this is also God's love. Also, even if we repented, sometimes trials may come to wash away even the traces of sin. But if we really repent thoroughly, the retribution will not be so great in magnitude. Even though we committed very serious sins, the retribution is not as serious because our shepherd is sacrificing himself. He is actually receiving the retribution on our behalf. So in case of those who have really turned from their sins, not just those who say with lips, but those who really turned from their sins, from the heart, those who are really set free from sins, they will receive less retribution than the magnitude of the sins they committed. So if you think about this fact, how great blessing this is. The nature and magnitude, depth of sins are all different. 1 John 5:16 says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make a request for this. There are sins leading to death and sins not leading to death. In case of sins leading to death, the Bible tells us not to pray for such sins, for such brothers and sisters. If brothers commit such sins, just by praying for them, their sins will not be forgiven. Hebrews chapter 6 and 10 also explain about the sins, not unforgivable sins. Also, Jesus talked about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. These are great sins that cannot be forgiven. So if God holds them accountable for these sins, such strict and fearful retribution will come upon them. And holding them accountable for their sins doesn't only mean final judgment, but they will also receive retribution on this earth too. It is stern, very strict, and fearful punishments because they committed sins, very unacceptable sins. So they will certainly be held responsible. But in case of Mami members, on May 16th, on the birthday of senior pastor, they received such great grace that they couldn't have expected. God said, He will stop, cancel out, holding us accountable for such sins. God is very strict. If He is not strict, how can He be the judge? How can the enemy devil obey God and follow the rules that God established? Devil will just look down on God. But God is very, very strict, and He is very just and precise and errorless. So the enemy devil also has to follow the rules. And because God is playing it fair, if there are sins, Satan can work through those sins. Otherwise, they can't. So He is governing all things. If He just protects all His children, regardless of any rules or laws, it is not a fair game. The enemy devil, they cannot just do their role. So, God is very strict, but He gave us this word of blessing. This is another chance of repentance. How could we receive this grace? It is because the shepherd has received the retribution of our sins on our behalf. Spiritual law dictates that without sin there is no death. The sins have to be paid. If we do not commit sins, God pays us with the grace, blessings. But senior pastor, he acted only with faith, and he didn't commit any sins. But why did he have to suffer? He suffered on behalf of all the church members. That is why God cannot help Himself but be moved by the deeds of the shepherd. God had to hold them accountable, the sinners. But through this kind of chance, God gave us another chance of repentance and forgiveness. This is such great sacrifice. I feel you should be very thankful from the depth of your heart. We do not have this kind of chance every day, every time. It is such a special grace that the sins, unforgivable sins, can be forgiven now. It's brought down by unbearable pains that the shepherd took for us. And as he was saying that, he said, even though we have received this chance of repentance, senior pastor will pray, intercede for us. But later, after that, it's up to us. After senior pastor prays for us, it is up to us. In fact, there is no, the Bible tells us not to pray for sins leading to death, unforgivable sins. The wall of sin is so great and so thick that our prayers will not be heard. It cannot go up to the Father God in case of sins leading to death, unforgivable sins. But through so much sacrifice, the shepherd, our shepherd has interceded again and again. So God accepted this aroma of prayer and he allowed for us this special chance of repentance. This means, even though we prayed so much, God couldn't hear us. But now he can hear our prayer. So, just by hearing our prayer doesn't mean we will receive blessings. First, we have to do, first thing first, we have to pray and we have to repent first. Because the shepherd interceded for us, we have to now repent. At our end, too. You know, on our, by ourselves alone, even though we repent again and again and again for so many days, we will never be forgiven. This is the sin leading to death. But for such a long time, the shepherd has fulfilled the measure of justice. And now, God will hear our prayer of repentance. Whereas in the past, God will never hear our prayer of repentance. But now he will hear our prayer of repentance. So according to the magnitude of this, of our sins, we will have to repent. It is on us. It is up to us. Suppose we committed 100 sins, magnitude of 100. Then, in case of sins leading to death, even though we prayed so much, even 1% will not be forgiven, no matter how much we prayed. But in this kind of chance of repentance, if you, as you receive the prayer of intercession, as we pray, our sins will be forgiven little by little. We have gained this kind of chance. And after getting this kind of chance, if we do not do anything on our part, it means we are not catching this chance. So we have had such occasions quite frequently in the past. We wrote letters of repentance and then we committed sins again. Sometimes they write the repentance letters again and again and again. So I asked them why. And they feel a little uneasy. But they didn't commit sins again. But they are not, they're not feeling comfortable either, even though they didn't commit sins again. So it means they didn't repent on their part. They didn't fulfill the measure that they had to fulfill. So through this birthday of the shepherd, your mindset was changed. Before repenting, those who were trying to repent in the past, after receiving the prayer of intercession, they are now relieved. They have peace. But even after receiving the prayer of intercession, even though they were there, after time goes, they don't have the peace of mind. They still have evil thoughts. So they don't know what to do. They are still suffering from their evil thoughts. It's because they didn't really repent. Their repentance was not accepted. It doesn't mean you will never be forgiven, but it means
그렇게 칭함 받을 수 있는 기회가 주어진 것이라고요.
A chance was given that you can be forgiven now. So you use this chance, catch this chance so that you can really repent and be forgiven. Just by writing a repentance letter doesn't mean you are completely forgiven. If you wrote the repentance letter about the evil thoughts against the shepherd, of course, you have to go before the shepherd and confess your sins so that the shepherd can pray and intercede for your sins. And now, a way was opened that now you can, God can hear your prayer of repentance. So now, breaking down the wall of sin is up to you now. Sometimes some of you committed sins again and again. You repented and then committed the same sin again. And this must stop. So that, for that, you have to repent truly. So let me talk about true repentance in two aspects. First, it is your attitude in repentance. Even if, let me give you an example of a particular sin. So even though it is about one particular sin, just you can realize, even though you committed other sins, you can apply it to yourself. I will give this example of one particular sin as to talk about what kind of attitude you should have in repentance. So you can just apply it to yourself, even though you didn't commit this particular kind of sin. So it is about I'll talk about passing judgment, condemnation on the shepherd. And what kind of attitude you should have while repenting. So even though you committed other sins, like adultery or having adulterous minds or having hatred or other kinds of sins, you can just apply it to yourself. You should feel very sorry before the Father God and cling to God in repentance so that you can be forgiven. Now, because you have a chance through the intercession of the shepherd to solve the problem of your sins. So let us all be forgiven. You know, if you are condemning and cursing the shepherd, you will think you are so evil too. But you cannot control your thoughts. So God hates it too. And so Satan works on you and you might speak or think of foul language. And you are passing judgment and condemnation and you are suffering so much in heart. You felt like, some of you are saying that you felt like you are falling into hell. And so you wrote the repentance letters and received a prayer of intercession too. But that's not all. You have to do your part. What is it? You have to repent. You have to repent again and again and again. You have to feel deep in your heart what you did wrong, about your wrongdoing. And you have to repent again and again. Even between men, individuals, if you made a mistake, some mistakes, you can just say, I'm sorry, and it's okay. And, oh, it's okay, no problem, and it is okay. But in some cases, you have to ask for forgiveness many times to recover the relationship according to the magnitude of the mistake. Sometimes you have to pay back the loss that is caused by you. And sometimes you have to take great responsibility for you to be forgiven. In some big mistakes or wrongdoing, you have to feel sorry for the rest of your life. You have to feel like you're a sinner for the rest of your life towards that person. So, there are many different kinds of wrongdoings. So, in case of God too, He evaluates us according to the depth of our sins. And condemning and judging the shepherd is such a great sin. But the sin being so great and deep, that doesn't, but you are still forgiven and you are repenting. And I'm not telling you to ask for forgiveness every day. And if you really repented for many days, many weeks, or many months, or now many years, and if you didn't commit such sins for so many years, and if you really repented, then now, and now if you have the peace of your mind given by God, then God doesn't say you are a sinner any longer. So you don't have to say, oh God, I am a sinner. I'm not saying you should do that, but your attitude of your mind should be like, because you committed such a great sin, but you are forgiven by God's grace, you should be very thankful for the forgiveness of your sin. And if you pass the judgment and condemnation on the shepherd, you cannot say, I'm sorry, shepherd, every time you meet him. But with that, with a kind of attitude that you feel sorry, you have to be more faithful, you have to be more thankful. But before you are completely forgiven, you have to keep on repenting. So this is the difference. If you received complete forgiveness, you are no longer a sinner. So now you have to be more thankful. You have to be more grateful for the forgiveness you received. But before you receive this forgiveness, you have to repent again and again, and you have to have to feel that you are a sinner. But then at a certain moment, you will feel that you are forgiven. And after that, you can only give thanks. So you can practice more of faithfulness and thankfulness. That was the case with some patriarch. In case of Apostle Peter, he was denied Jesus. And he remembered this deep in his heart. And he worked with all his life until his death, until he became a martyr, with a grateful heart, thankfulness. Suppose Peter denied the Lord three times, but then he, when the crowd, there was a rooster at the dawn, he repented immediately. And then he repented immediately and he repented thoroughly. And when Jesus was going up to Golgotha, when he was taking the cross, Peter wasn't thinking, oh, I repented thoroughly. I was the kind of the leader among the 12. And now I repented and he didn't follow Jesus ahead. He was feeling so sorry, embarrassed. And he was just following the crowd. And he was following with tears at the behind. But in case of John the Apostle, he was helping with Mary Magdalene, the Virgin Mary, in the front. But in case of Peter, he was following only behind because he was so sorry. And with that kind of attitude, he worked faithfully until the end. This is the right attitude. This is the right conscience. Because he was feeling sorry. He turned this embarrassment into thankfulness after he was forgiven. So if you were forgiven, you should have this kind of attitude. But until then, you have to repent thoroughly, truly. So for you to accomplish true repentance, until you truly repent, you should really understand how great evil this is to pass judgment and condemnation on the shepherd. And it is to, because it is to look down on God, because God attests to the shepherd. Matthew 7:16 says, you will know them by their fruits. 7:18 says, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. It is the words of Jesus. You can evaluate them with their fruits, not with their words or just their appearance, holiness on their outside. You can see their fruits and their deeds. What kinds of fruits are is the shepherd bearing? Yeah, whatever is in the Bible. The powerful works of God in the Bible. His ministry is guaranteed by God through the powerful works. God loves him so much, attests to him, guarantees him so much. It is shown by the powerful works of God. Even during the 98 and 99 trials, in 98, he conducted divine healing sessions in November. He showed to everybody how much he is guaranteed by God. He was out of energy. You know, he was betrayed by those whom he loved so much, taught so much. And so many church members were tempted and deceived by these evil people. But the senior pastor's choice was a divine healing session. And seeing so many works of God, we were happy. And when there was a broadcasting incident in 99, you remember, at that time we were having 2-week special revival meeting. So, did the powerful works of God stop? No, they were even more great works of God. And God guaranteed him. But your thoughts, your minds, what did you have? What kinds of thoughts did you have? So how foolish it was. Even though God guaranteed him through the evidence, what were you thinking? So you can just check yourself. So you have to repent again and again until it is forgiven. God guarantees it. God gave him this power. God gave his authority to this shepherd. And if you are judging him, it means you are high above, you are higher than God. How foolish this is. God guarantees him, and God is using him with his power, and you are seeing these powerful works of God, and you are judging him, so it only means you are higher than God. James 4:11-12 says, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against the brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the Lord, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor?" Even between men, brothers, God tells us not to judge. But if you judge a shepherd who is guaranteed by God with his power, what kind of great evil and arrogance this is? You have to think about it so deeply. The things happened during 98 and 99. Oh, okay, you repented. On December 25th, 2010, and during the 3-month suspension period last year. But you still have some uneasiness in your heart? What is the reason? Because you don't trust completely. And I'll talk about it in the second aspect. But so if you still feel embarrassed or sorry or uneasy, it means you didn't really repent, truly. God refines his men, and God gives his power only when they pass all the tests. Do you believe God? Yes, you do. So you pray to God. But does that mean you perform with God's power? No. Why doesn't God give you power? To receive the power of God, you have to be one with God. You have to have the love and generosity of God, the mercy of God, and you have to be recognized of the truth that you have in you by God so that you can perform with God's power. There are so many pastors, but they don't minister with God's power. This power itself is the guarantee of God. Until the shepherd has received this power, he passed all the tests of God. That is why his power only increased day by day. And knowing this, how could you judge him with your petty fleshly thoughts? It means you look down on God. That's what God says. You have to remember this fact. So if you passed judgment and condemnation on shepherd, it is such unacceptable sin and evil. You have to feel this deep in your heart so that you can truly repent. Passing judgment and condemnation on the man of God in the Bible, God says it is not judging that man. God says it is to judge God Himself. And there was a stern judgment, punishment. Miriam and Aaron slandered Moses. They judged Moses. They criticized Moses. Then God said to Miriam, God gave Miriam leprosy, which is a sign of curse. And only through intercession of Moses, God answered. God healed her. And God said, God explained about what kind of relationship he had with Moses. And Numbers in 14, men with Korah, they stood against Moses. And God said, God didn't just keep quiet, but the ground, the earth was split open into two, and they just fell into hell right away. Why? Because they stood against a man of God. What kind of great sin this is? God was showing them it was such a great sin. And God, because God guarantees He's man. So we could have received the same punishment. But God asked God, the shepherd asked God to hold it. And He has made this chance of repentance so that we can receive a punishment. Numbers 14:11 says, the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me, despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? Moses performed with so many signs. And God says, how long will these people spurn me, despise me? And how long will they not believe in me? Through Moses, God showed His power. And yet, people, they complained and disobeyed. And God said, it is not to believe in God. You can apply this to yourself too. Same with the passing judgment and condemnation on the shepherd. He is performing so much signs and wonders. And he is sacrificing himself only for the glory of God, for the church and the members. We say we know his ministry. But you heard falsehood, lies of evil people. And you kept it in your mind. And you didn't remember the word of God. And you lived in sins. That is why you have the thoughts of passing judgment and condemnation on the shepherd. And you are suffering also because of that. So God says, you don't have faith. God cannot help but say, you don't have faith. You don't believe in Him. It is such a great sin, unacceptable sin. You have to feel it in your heart again and again so that you can repent and God can accept your repentance and He can forgive you. Then you will be set free. You will feel free. Passing judgment and condemnation on the shepherd is an unacceptable sin. And let me give you another example to explain this. If there are quarrels among the brothers, the parents will feel very heartbroken. But if it's not just a quarrel, but if they slander each other, beat each other up, then how much more heartbroken will the parents be? And the parents will be so mad at their children. And they will also probably punish their children. But if the children curse the parents and beat their children, this is not, you know, even by the worldly standard, it is such an evil thing. The people will think they are just a, humans. You know, if children hit their parents or curse their parents, it is completely unforgivable. You know, judging between the brothers is unacceptable. And if you judge your shepherd, this is just so unacceptable. It is just unacceptable. You have to feel it. so much, so deeply, and you committed this unacceptable sin. That's what your thoughts were about. This is to look down on God, and this is a sin worthy of death. In case of Miriam, she got the leprous. And in case of Korah, he fell into the earth right away. Fell into hell right away. Sometimes for months, you didn't commit the sin once or twice. So you have to repent maybe even thousands of times for you to be forgiven. So you have to repent truly. And you have to feel deep in your heart that what kind of sin it was, what kind of evil sin it was. You have to feel it truly so that you can really repent and be forgiven. So you, I hope you will fill up the measure of justice so that you don't have to repent any longer. I hope you will receive the true peace and comfort from God. Secondly, true repentance is to change. Even though you wrote repentance letters, and because you are being careful, right at that moment for several weeks or several months, you didn't commit sins. But after some time, if you, sometimes you committed sins again. So, true fruit of repentance is to cast away the form of evil. You have to have substantial change in you. Just because you received an intercession prayer, after receiving intercession prayer, you didn't, maybe you stopped thinking about, you stopped having evil thoughts, judging or condemning the shepherd. But later, as long as you don't get rid of the evil in your heart, it might come up again. You didn't repent of the original evil nature in you. So later, you cannot control your thoughts again. So for you to have true repentance, you have to acknowledge your evil and you have to try to change yourself so that you will not have those evil thoughts any longer. For example, there is a thief. He understands that it is evil and he repents of stealing. And he doesn't steal any longer. And the duration of time of not stealing, several months he didn't steal. But later, he steals again. Why? Because he has the desire to take somebody else's. He envies other people. He's not satisfied with what he has because he doesn't cast away this evil. After some time, he steals again. So he has to get rid of this evil heart of stealing. Because he doesn't do that, he's just being careful. So he stops stealing for some time. But after some time, his mind is at ease, and he steals again. It is same with sins leading to death between opposite sex. They committed sins because everybody was repenting. You repented and you didn't commit sins. But you don't cast away the adulterous mind in your heart. So later, you committed sins again. So if you really, truly repent, you have to cast away the evil that is in your nature too. So I'm talking about, my focus is on this example of passing judgment and condemnation of the shepherd. So, what kind of evil caused this kind of a sin? Matthew 12:34-35 says, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. A good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil." Matthew 15:18-19 says, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders." So, the evil that is in the heart comes out through to the thoughts, deeds, and words. So it doesn't only come through the mouths, but through the thoughts and deeds too. So if you have evil thoughts, it means your heart is filled with evil. So evil that is in your heart, it comes out as thoughts. Let me explain it in one aspect, in one example. It is, even after seeing what is good, you think it is evil. So the evil thoughts here includes passing judgment and condemnation and being insensitive about goodness. It is something good, but you don't feel it is good. This is also evil thought, which comes out from evil heart. After seeing goodness, you feel uncomfortable. You don't like it. You're envious. You're jealous. So let us talk about these evil thoughts. Because you have evil thoughts because your heart is filled with evil. And let me explain how unacceptable these evil thoughts are. Let me give you the example of the Bible. Pharisees and scribes, lawyers, they saw something good of Jesus and they thought it was evil. Jesus only did good ministry. He healed the sick people, he healed the infirmities, he drove away demons, and he preached goodness and peace and kingdom of heaven. And these Pharisees and lawyers, they were following Jesus, trying to find some fault in Jesus, to criticize him. So when Jesus healed a sick man on the Sabbath, they were saying, condemning him that he was a sinner because he worked on the Sabbath. Especially in John chapter 9, Jesus healed a person who was born blind. And people were amazed and they gave glory to God. But Pharisees, they brought this man who was born blind and they asked him, who healed you? They know it was Jesus. But to find fault in Jesus, they were doing this. Who healed him? Because he was healed on the Sabbath. So they asked him, who healed you? And he, although he was blind, he knew it was Jesus. So it is somebody called Jesus. And they were having different opinions. Oh, he violated the Sabbath. And some people are saying, how can a sinner heal a person? You know, open the eyes of a blind man who was born blind. And many people were evil, so they wanted to find fault in Jesus. So they brought also called the parents. And was it really Jesus who healed him? And the parents, they were not really good, so they said, I don't know, we don't know. Ask our son, he's a grown man. So they called the man second time and asked again. He answered, I told you everything. And they were talking about among themselves. And this blind man said, I don't know about this man Jesus, but I know God does not hear a sinner, but he listens to a righteous man and he answers to righteous men. And I believe he is Jesus. And Jesus is a prophet. So they just sternly warned him not to talk about Jesus any longer. So because they were so evil, even after seeing amazing, powerful works, rather than repenting, humbly repenting, they were rather criticizing and judging Jesus, that Jesus violated the Sabbath. After seeing goodness, not just they were being insensitive about the goodness, but they were rather criticizing this goodness. Let me talk about King Saul. David was such a good person to Saul. They couldn't win in the battle because of Goliath. And this young man, David, boldly went before Goliath in the name of the Lord God and killed him. And so they won the battle. So Saul was happy too. So he didn't send this David back to his father, but he made him a commander of the army. So in every battle, David won the battles. So Saul should have been very thankful to David. But because Saul had envy and jealousy.
He was
showing the deeds of envy and jealousy. David was coming back after winning a battle, and the women were saying, it's thousands for Saul and tens of thousands for David. And Saul heard this and he was very uncomfortable, angry. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? Saul looked at David with the suspicion from that day on. So because of a time limit, I cannot explain all those evil heart, how evil heart came out as evil thoughts. And this is so evil. He won the victories, gained victories because of David. And David was a hero, or rather because he was jealous. His head was full of thoughts of jealousy, and he hated David. So after 1 Samuel 18:8-9, after having evil thoughts, Saul, because he had these evil thoughts, he was captured by evil spirit, and he couldn't control himself. So it's the same with us. Because we have this evil heart and evil thoughts, from the evil heart, we cannot control our thoughts. We cannot control our lips. It is given to Satan, and that is why you have these curses, foul language. So we have to also realize ourselves. So if you have this envy and jealousy, we will say a good person is evil, and we will easily pass judgment and condemnation. How about Judas Iscariot? Mary, sister of Lazarus, poured perfume on Jesus. And it was, and her brother was revived by the power of Jesus. And she was so thankful to Jesus. And out of her gratefulness, she was pouring this perfume on Jesus. She was serving Jesus. It is such a lovely scene. They should have been happy. But Judas Iscariot, he had evil thoughts. And with his evil thoughts, he said evil things. John 12:5 says, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people? In other Gospels, and he was not saying in a good manner. He was saying it with an irritated manner. Just by looking at the words, it may sound something as good, but it's not good at all. 300 denarii is, in today's sense, it is about $20,000 to $30,000. So why did Judas Iscariot think this way? John 12:6 says, now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. He didn't want to help the poor people. It sounds good. But God says it's no, because he was a thief. If it was sold and given to Jesus, he could have stolen it. That is why he was saying this, because he had this greed. Even after seeing this good deed of serving Jesus, he didn't like it. On the lips, he was saying it as if he was saying something good. You might also think the same. Oh, I am saying this for that person. I am saying this for the church. But in your heart, it's such a great evil. That's why you are judging and you are having uncomfortable feelings. You have to acknowledge this fact. After seeing something good, you have to rejoice together and you have to take after that good act. But if you are uncomfortable, if you don't like it, if you are passing judgment, it means you are full of evil in your heart. It's the same with about the shepherd. The shepherd is helping the poor, saving on his expenses. So you should be moved by such good deed, and you have to follow the same example. But because you have the greed, and you want to have, then you will have evil thoughts. What kind of evil thoughts? Oh, I'm also having a hard time, but he doesn't help me. And you resent him. Oh, he helps that person, but not me. Maybe he favors only that person. So you have these uncomfortable evil thoughts. Pastors, Levites, workers, members, you shouldn't be asking the shepherd to give you something. It is not according to the truth. Members, they should receive blessings and they should give to the man of God. This is the way to receive blessing and according to the truth. And if you are pastors, Levites, and leaders, and if you expect something from the shepherd, and if you resent his goodness, what kind of evil heart do you have? You're seeking your benefits so much. You're not moved by the goodness of the shepherd. You don't feel, you don't appreciate the hard work and effort of the shepherd. He doesn't enjoy himself and he saves on his expenses to help the poor members. And you are not moved in your heart, but rather you want to take it. You want to have it. And you have to realize that you have so much greed. And only after getting rid of this kind of greed, seeking your own benefit, can you have good thoughts. So you have to repent of these evil heart and get rid of them so that you will not have evil thoughts any longer. Giving testimonies, it is a desire of the shepherd to give glory to God and to plant faith in the members. And hearing these testimonies, you have evil thoughts. And what kind of great evil this is? You are saying he is boasting. He is bragging about himself. What kind of unacceptable thought is this? What kind of evil heart do you have to have such thoughts? So, it is like Pharisees who are judging Jesus for healing people. What is the difference between you and Pharisees? In case of those people, Jesus said, "You brood of vipers." You have to realize that you are full of this kind of evil too. Repent of it completely and get rid of it. The shepherd is praising somebody during his sermon. But if you have envy, you don't like it. You are uncomfortable. You think of his shortcomings first. If somebody you love is praised, you like it. But if somebody you dislike is praised, you don't like it. And what if you want to be praised? What are you reminded of? Something you did well. I did this well, but he doesn't praise me. So you have to look into your heart. What kind of evil heart causes such evil thoughts? You have the desire to be praised and acknowledged by others. So you have to realize these evil thoughts. You committed sins leading to death. You are full of adulterous mind. So much lust. And you fantasize and imagine so many things. It is such a great evil. It is such filthy thoughts in the sight of God. You have to realize it and repent of it and rid yourself of such adulterous mind and filthy thoughts. Now, I'm talking about passing judgment and condemnation and how you should repent of it. But you have many other sins. You should have the same kind of attitude about all the other evil thoughts, evil heart you have. You can get rid of them with the same attitude. For example, if you have adulterous mind, then if you have adulterous thoughts, you must stop watching obscene things. You must never watch obscene things. You are suffering because of evil thoughts. Then you must now stop watching those things. And then now, you can start getting rid of adulterous minds. Even though you stopped watching those things, what you have watched so far, what you have felt so far, they are still in your heart. Oh, now I don't watch those things any longer. I don't commit sins in action any longer. But you have these evil things, adulterous things in your heart, in your mind, and in your body as feelings. So now you have to wash them away, get rid of them. Just by writing a repentance letter, those evil feelings will not go away. Because you have these feelings in your body, in your cells, you have to get rid of them. How? You have to repent. And then, listen to the Word of God, pray, praise God, and do practice goodness. And you have to change your deeds into these things, so that your adulterous mind and evil will go away, will be gotten rid of, and now you can have a true repentance. Otherwise, the repentance right now is only temporary, momentary. Later, you don't like it, but it comes up again and again. It's because you have that evil in your heart. So if you get rid of that evil from your heart, you'll be able to control your thoughts. And if you store up good deeds, you will not have adulterous thoughts any longer. Jeremiah 4:14 says, "Wash your heart from evil, O Jerusalem, that you may be saved. How long will your wicked thoughts lodge within you?" Your heart, wash your heart from evil. So evil thoughts are caused by evil heart. So you have to get rid of this evil heart so that you can have peace. Your evil heart causes you to have adulterous minds, condemnation and judgment, and all those foul language in your thoughts and on your lips. So, it's because you saw something evil, you stored up something evil in your heart by seeing and hearing. So even though you don't try to think, you try not to think those things, you cannot control yourself. So just by writing a repentance letter, just by repenting several times, it will not be washed away completely. You have to repent thoroughly, so many times, again and again, and cling to God again and again, so that you can really set free from those evil thoughts. Tears of true repentance will wash away the evil in your heart. As Jeremiah 4:14 says, wash your heart from evil. If you really repent in tears and runny nose, not just once or twice, so many times, sometimes for several months, if you thoroughly repent, you shed tears because you did such great evil before. So if you just really repent thoroughly, if you really feel sorry and embarrassed about your sin and truly repent from your heart, all those evil in your heart will be washed away. And if you try to practice goodness, you will be changed quickly. Let me conclude the message. The weather is hot nowadays, and in this kind of hot weather, if you just put the food waste in for one day, there will be insects. You know, just putting pesticides on it will not solve the problem. As long as there is the food, there will be more and more insects again. So it's the same with our sins and evil. Just by being careful about sins, praying hard, even though we have evil in our heart, it may not come outside for some time. But if we are not being careful enough, and this evil will soon come out in thoughts and feelings and action. That's what you've witnessed so far. So you have to get rid of the evil nature from your heart, so that in any case, there will be no evil that will come out. You will not have any evil thoughts. You're suffering from evil thoughts is because you have evil in your heart. Realize this fact and get rid of the evil from your heart. So after all, for you to be set free from sins and evil thoughts completely, you have to become sanctified. You have to go into spirit. Then you will not have to repent again and again for anything. Even though others repent for something, you will only be thankful. You used to suffer from sins and evil, but now you can only give thanks. So you have to keep on casting away sins and evil from your heart. This is to give thanks for the sacrifice of the shepherd. being innocent, he was suffering on our behalf for so many years. We committed unacceptable sins, unforgivable sins. But he said, I'm tired. It's too much. I've had it enough. He never said it. But he only prayed for us. This chance of repentance cannot be given every time. We cannot think this is given every time. The sacrifice and devotion of the shepherd will continue, but to create this kind of a chance of repentance, he sacrificed his body. And he received the retribution on our behalf. But once the money comes in and all those great visions are being fulfilled, the senior pastor doesn't have time to do this for us. You have to understand this fact. Until when can he do this? No. Of course, the sacrifice and devotion of the shepherd will continue. But like now, with this kind of body, he cannot continue to have this kind of body. Once the money comes in, and as we accomplish the world evangelism in full scale, he will have to go out to the world, and he will have to sacrifice himself for the whole world. He will sacrifice himself for us too, so that our faith will increase so much. So there must not be any more of sins leading to death. There must not be any more of condemnation and judgment on the shepherd. Of course, you repented of all those things. And if you still think, if you're still suffering from those evil thoughts, even now, it means you have to do your part. I'm not saying you have to write repentance letters again and again, but now you have to repent before God again, completely again and again. So just to drive away these thoughts immediately as soon as they come up to your mind. And until your sins are completely forgiven, your evil is completely gotten rid of, keep on repenting. Do not worry about the retribution that you will receive, but just be thankful and work faithfully for the kingdom of God. So someday soon you will have a happy day, and you will also receive blessings when the blessing of God comes into this church. So God gave us a happy day, and I hope you will truly repent and receive all the blessings. All this I pray in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, let us pray together, thinking about the message.
목자의 보상의 열매로 모두가 나오는 성도님들 되게 하여 주옵소서. 감사하고 우리 주 예수 그리스도 이름으로 기도하옵나이다. 아멘.
영상을 통하여 we receive the prayer for the sick of the senior pastor on video. Lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities. For those who are not sick, lay your hands on your chest and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah. Almighty God, the Father God of love, lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN Internet and Satellite TV, in branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away, light come. Scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened, get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Father, let there be no scars remaining. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessings of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of the heavenly places, and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away, light come. Father God, give them the strength to cry out in prayer, and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them, and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week, and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly host, and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying the Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met an experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.